justice and freedom for people for nearly four decades. A man who has fasted, has run, has prayed, all for the cause of justice. A man who believed that we live in a country where we cry peace when there really is no peace. For in the streets and the neighborhoods of communities across this country, there is a war going on. And unfortunately, everybody knows that there is a war, a serious war, an educational war, an economic war, a health war in this country. Everyone knows it except our president. And I wonder when he's going to realize that we've got some problems in America. One man who's been standing up against the injustice for all these years has been our speaker for tonight, Mr. Dick Gregory. He was with Martin King and has done much work since then and continues to work. And so, brothers and sisters, let's give our guest speaker a good Pittsburgh welcome. Would you stand on your feet and welcome Brother Dick Gregory.
Let me first say we thank and praise God. We all made it here safely today. I pray to God that your return and my return will be equally as safe. It didn't take too much for Pittsburgh welcome for me. Y'all got me out of Washington, D.C. You ain't seen no fear. Well, I tell you how frightened it is. The whores then got off the street. Now, that's something Jesus Christ couldn't do. You know? You got men going in the house at 5:30 in the afternoon that have never been home before 3 o'clock in the morning. Get home and discover their wife cook a mighty meal every day. They get there in time for TV dinner. And then you see the bold ones out just walking fast like that's going to help. So I thank y'all. Then I met my brother. My brother came pick me up, Brother Nate Smith, at the airport. Always. He gets stronger and stronger. That's a good example that black don't crack. And I thank you for how long you've been out there. It's a great benefit. I do about 200 dates a year. Most of them are just dates. To come to an evening like this, where you're going to bump into warriors, folks who have really made a difference. And I thank you. To sit and listen to a gentleman stand up here and talk about feeding people something other than food. You know damn good and well you can wipe out world hunger, but you have to understand the politics of hunger. That's no accident. So to say we're not only going to feed you, we're going to show you a different type of power. And so I thank you. And for those of you that's part of this wonderful organization, look around here tonight and see what your friends are saying about you just being here. There's no one in this room that's here because you're homeless. Every one of us interrupted our schedules to be here to come and say thanks to you for doing what you're doing. At midnight tonight, I'll start a fast. You really don't understand your power or what you're doing until you feel hunger running through your body. And then when you feel hunger running through your body that you can't do anything about, that someone is there. I remember I ran from L.A. to New York City in 1976 to dramatize world and domestic hunger. And somebody said, do you think running across the country would help? I said, well, I can say this. I used to go to bed hungry at night. And I knew if I turned on the radio then, we didn't have TV, and I heard that Bob Hope was running across the country because of hunger, I'm sure I could have gone to bed that night and sleep with a smile on my face. One person with courage is the majority. You do make a difference. And so again, I just say thank you for this evening. My job is very easy. All I have to do is produce a body. A whole lot of work went into making this evening happy. So for those of you that are responsible, we say thank you. Thanks for those of you who's responsible for the physical part. Folks pick me up at the airport, somebody gonna take me back. These tables didn't just jump up like this in this food and fix itself. There's a whole lot of people that's involved. This mic didn't jump up here. This stand didn't jump up here. And unbeknown to who they are, after we leave here tonight, somebody gonna clean this room up. We won't know their name. But for those of you who's so invisible, we say thank you. And so I say to you today, those of you that interrupted your schedules to decide to come out and share this evening, because had you not made that decision, the rest of it wouldn't have mattered. So to you and you and you, we say thank you. That we say welcome to Pittsburgh. On the phone, I get a lot of information. I read about 600 newspapers every 10 days. Not too much go down. I don't see not too much go down. I don't figure out. And then I talk to people all over the world, share information. I want to thank my brother Calvin Clinton Sr. for the information you feed me pertaining to how minorities is not doing in construction industry here. And I thank my Urban League brother that brought me the tape today. I do about 200 of these dates a year all over the world, and people bring me information. And I thank you for it. And I look at it, and I do something that most folks dare do. I do throw pearls to swines, because when I was a swine, it was people throwing me pearls. And it made a difference in life. I had to run and call my wife, preparing myself for this fast that starts at midnight. And I told her, I said, you know, my day been so messed up all day, I didn't have time to drink the amount of water that I needed to drink and a little mixture. And so she said, now it's time to speak. And she said, well, just take you some of them little ginseng caps. Y'all familiar with a little ginseng liquid I'm talking about. You just pop it. And I popped two of them. I'm sitting there and I had to get up just now and take a little walk. Strange feeling came over me. And I went to the men's room, and naturally I don't throw trash nowhere, so I had these little caps in my pocket and I got ready to throw it away. Realized I took my Viagra by mistake. So you know I got to hurry up and talk quick. And Viagra have no mercy. And you know, I'm one of the few black men that use the stuff and admit it. Usually when you catch a brother using, he swear he's buying for a white boy. Right now, I use it. Now, by accurate, they do have some hang-ups now. They do have some drawbacks. Sometimes you can't get through that scanner at the airport. Then they ask all them stupid questions. Have it been with you all day? You can't hear. Yeah, okay. I don't know what we can do about that. I'll tell you to move up here because I know, and it's kind of interesting in America, if it was a bunch of filthy gangster rappers coming here to talk to you, you could hear 10 miles down the street because they'd had that type of system. But somebody come to you with my integrity and my information and the wiseness that I have, and you got messed up mics. That's And so I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do about that. I think y'all, those of y'all that came here should lodge a complaint, and maybe it won't happen again. But this is what the problem is. So if I was you, I would move. I'd come here and find out the folks who's in charge and sit in their lap. Huh? No. Maybe I make my living doing it. You don't even tell me what to say next to no damn mic. I said earlier, I do 200 days a year, and this is about the third time in 10 years somebody tell me they can't hear, so damn sure ain't me. Like the most painful thing about traveling is I got to go to the airport. Now, let me just say to you white folks, if you hear me say anything about white folks tonight, rest assured I'm not talking about you. The advocate, it ain't but about five white folks on the whole planet, and the rest of y'all is imposters. You see, white ain't got nothing to do with a color. White got something to do with an attitude. And if you ain't got some big, big, big billions of bucks in the bank, you can't have the attitude. You hear me talking about white folks? I'm talking about Queen Elizabeth type white folks. Queen Elizabeth make $360 million every 24 hours gets interest on her money. Now, them be white folks. And I like them type of white folks because they don't lie. They will tell you we're going to war to protect our interests. As an interest. The games. And the interesting thing, the way that whole manipulation worked with that handful of thugs. And my life was messed up because they messed up my mama's head. And that's some of you old black folks, y'all got to see, I stopped believing that just because a black person get old, they got wisdom. If you was dumb at 9, you dumb at 99. They messed up my mother's head so bad, my mother had nerve enough to teach me as a little boy. You can't get no stupider. He's telling me when the Titanic was sinking, the band was playing, Nero, my God, to me. I said to my brother, I said, she really believes that we ought to get out of here. Of course, I didn't know that 70 years later they're going to redo it as a love story. But sometimes you black folks ought to kind of listen to some of the silly, stupid stuff. Y'all listen to some old black folks. I don't know what's wrong with these young folks today. When we was their age, we didn't have to lock no doors. You didn't have nothing. When I was a little boy in St. Louis, Missouri, we didn't lock no doors. But that white grocery store across the street locked down every night. Them black folks in the community with doctor's degree and imagine school teaching doctors, they locked their stuff down. I got a cousin in Kansas City. He got 27 locks on his door and he got nothing in the house. I said, boy, if somebody broke in here, they would leave something. And the house he lived in is so small, he stuffed the key in the door one day and stabbed 12 people. And they was in the backyard.
And they got one of these old raggedy, nasty cars. If you're stupid enough to ride in it, you need a tetanus shot. But he believes somebody wants to steal it. So he went out 3 months ago and bought him one of them, clubs. I talked to my sister the other day in Kansas City. She said 2 nights ago somebody stole a club and left the car. And then you white folks in America, y'all better start paying attention to black folks and listen to what they be saying, because sometimes they be sounding good, but they be talking about y'all. I mean, I walked out of conference the other day. I'm all black on black. What the hell is black on black? You white folks better listen. Black on black crime. Listen what they said. Yeah, we just tired of black folk killing black folk. Now, they didn't say they tired of black folk killing. They said they tired of them killing black folks. Then who be left? I have never understood black on black crime. It sounds good in a racist, sexist, insane nation. But if we all went to China tonight, who you think killing Chinese in China tonight? And tomorrow, if we go to Italy, who you think killing the Italians? And if 98% of all Americans that was murdered in America, all white folks that was murdered in America last year was murdered by white folks, if they ain't talking about white on white crime, why you black folks talking about black on black crime? You kill where you live. If you don't want black folk killing black folks, then join the NAACP, the Urban League, SCLC, get my brother Nate, get out here with me, and we integrate this country. And I guarantee you, if I'm living way over here in this white suburban neighborhood, and my old lady make me mad and want to shoot somebody, I'm not going to get in my car and drive back to the ghetto. The games. Fear since September 11th of last year. I never understood what Roosevelt was talking about when he said there's nothing to fear but fear itself. Fear and God do not occupy the same space. Old dumb brother called me the other day. They're about to repossess my car. What must I do? Don't park in front of the house. Car green, painted red. Huh? In a few days, I celebrate my 70th birthday, and Seventy years I've been blessed to be part of the greatest movement in the history of the planet. 70 years I've been blessed to be around brothers. Thank you. That's my brother. God, every time I see you, man, the only thing that kind of switches is to think about Bob Johnson, one of the fine minds on the planet. I was so sad when he passed away, but we always talked about you. First time I ever been around somebody talk about Pittsburgh and didn't mention Steele. Brother Nate. Don't thank you. That's kind. Yeah, I've been mad 43 years, but love ain't got nothing to do with it. My old lady told me, if you ever leave me, I'll hurt you. Hurt will keep you home for a long time. And then when you start making big money, there's another word that'll keep you home that Michael Jordan just found out about called ham. I want y'all to listen to these two stories. A guy got married, a black guy. Him and his wife had enough sense to know they wasn't making big money. So they decided what they would do is Instead of having the Latin wedding, they would go to the Justice of the Peace. Instead of going on honeymoon, they just pooled the money together and buy a home. So they got married that day and joyously went to their new home. But on the way there, a guy who had been in jail 27 years for killing 12 people, life with no parole, he had escaped early that day, and out of all the houses to go into, he went into theirs. So when they got there getting ready for the joyous festivity, he bumped into my man. And he was cold-blooded murder. He just told him point blank, I have killed 12 people. I've done 27 years in jail. I know they're going to catch me, and I'll kill again. I have had no sex, no good food for 27 years. And I intend to do something about that right now. So he tied the dude up in a chair tightly, tied her down to the bed. Never took off his clothes. It kind of looked like he was laying on her, kissing her in the ear. That's what it looked like. And then he got up and left the room. You could tell where he left, he was coming back. So her husband kind of scooted the chair all the way over to the bed. He said, "Baby, you heard what he said. He'll cold-blooded murder. He'll kill us all." So he had no sex and no good food in 27 years. Now, you know I love you. And I know you love me. I think when he comes back, you should not only go along with him, act like you enjoy it, and act like you love him. He said, why you? What makes you think he want to have me? He said, "I saw him kissing you in your ear." He said, "No, he was whispering in my ear how pretty you were." And asked me where was the Vaseline. So she said to him, "You know, I think when he come back, I think you have the answer. Go along with him. Make like you enjoy it." Then you better be real careful, especially in these day and age. What you see it might not be what you see. Dude, rich dude, loved to drink whiskey. I remember my whiskey drinking days. I used to drink so much whiskey, I'm surprised the government didn't declare me a beverage. But in some kind of way, you know, people have strange things. He didn't care nothing about family, nothing about moral values, nothing about who he slept with, how much whiskey he drank, but he would never drive drunk. So this morning he woke up in somebody's bed, he didn't know where he was, drunk, lipstick all over his suit, his shirt, his face. But he realized he was too drunk to drive, so he got on the subway in New York. Wealthy businessman, he reading the paper on the subway, and he looked across the aisle and there's an old priest, a monk looking priest. And he says, "Excuse me, sir, how do you get off the riders?" And the priest went off on him. "So you get off the riders just the type of trifling life you live. You're drunk, been drinking all night, you've probably been with women beneath your dignity. You don't care nothing about family or God." The man went on back to reading his paper. The priest got to thinking about the tone and how he answered him and felt bad. He said to himself, "This don't sound like a man of God." He said to him, "Excuse me, sir, let me apologize. I'm so sorry I talked to you in that tone and said the things I said to you. But let me ask you something. How did you get on the riders?" He said, "Well, I have them. I just read in the paper here, say the Pope got it." Ha, ha, ha. So I say to you, thank you for feeding folks. I used to smoke 4 packs of cigarettes a day, drink a 1/5 of scotch every day. I used to drink whiskey like you drink soda pop. You just throw the top away. If you want to understand hunger, understand drug addiction. They can pick a drug addict or alcoholic and throw them in jail tonight. And they'll never look back as long as you're feeding them. That's the number one addiction. But try not feeding them. Try not feeding them. Hunger. We will never have peace on this world as long as we have hungry people, because hungry people make good soldiers. Hungry people make good athletes. And athletes, y'all don't talk about your Pittsburgh Steelers. No, athletes ain't nothing but gladiators for a vicious, insane system to put you to sleep. Funny, Queen Elizabeth, the super, super rich, never produced no children that played world-class tennis. Why not? They've had everything. They've had good diets. They've had the best doctors. How come there are no billionaires playing back? That's a game. And how come we're not asking about how we live in a country that pays farmers not to plant, while you have to sit here and raise money at a silent auction to feed hungry people? Something wrong. And the bad part about it, if you understood that, then you'd understand the rest of it. You can sit here tonight and be for capital punishment, and I ain't getting into no houses with you. You be for what you want to be for. My problem is this. Every one of you sitting here that's for capital punishment know damn good and well, if you had a loved one wiped out or a friend or family member that was killed or murdered, brutally murdered, and they sentenced us to die, in your subconscious mind, unless you some kind of insane fool, you know damn good and well, if Prince Charles's boy did the same thing, or Mellon, or Rockefeller's children did the same thing, they would never get the electric chair. What kind of fool is you? What kind of God you believe in? I ain't got no problem about your belief. I got a problem where you hide behind Christianity. It's some kind of petty religion. And know the super rich will never go to the electric chair or lethal injection. And yet you can be for it and then profess to believe in some kind of God that says, as you do to the least of mine, you do to me. And then in a Christian praying society that cries every year over the crucifixion of Christ, give me a break. Are you too out of it or too stupid or that you don't know that your Christ was killed by the state? It was capital punishment. Christ wasn't mugged to death or run down by some drunken chariot driver. Jesus Christ was killed by the state, which means if Jesus Christ comes back to America today and bugged the wrong people, they will give you Jesus electric chair. And then all us Christians be walking around with big chairs around our necks. Where you down? Yeah. How you make the sign of the chair? And as long as you're willing to wimp out, as long as you're willing to tolerate one person's inhumanity to someone else, as long as you're willing to choose sides about the Middle East, you have violated God. The same God that produced the drug addict also produced the drug pusher. Huh? And then you get so wrapped up in your crap, you missed something in the Middle East early last month. You missed something. They've been battling and blowing up stuff over there, strapping bombs to themselves.
2.5 years. And then a funny thing happened.
The big boys was getting ready to take over prime time. The big boys was getting ready to celebrate the first anniversary, September the 11th. And they pushed the button. And they said to the Middle East, okay, stop it. And did you miss a week before September the 11th to a week after? There was no explosions. Are you out your mind? Are you crazy? Nobody is going to disturb this freak show. They bombing every day. And then all at once we coming up to the big festivities. And it stopped. And y'all so busy violating universal order, you don't even see what a handful of thugs is doing. We had a president last week call for the assassination of another human being. Now, the Bloods and the Crips, they don't get on TV and call for it. They just kill them. The Mafia, they don't get on TV and send out, we're going to wipe out the so-and-so family. They just do it. You got the mightiest, number one democracy, God-fearing nation that's ever existed in the history of the planet, so you want to believe. And your head of state calls for this. I didn't have no problem with that. I had a problem with not one head of church spoke out against it. Not one head of church. Huh? The Pope had opened up his mouth. The Black National Baptist Convention, the Lutheran, none of them have come together and said there's something wrong with this. What kind of fools is you? And then you wonder why children go to bed hungry? Huh? Something wrong. But as long as the super rich is doing it, huh? You black folks, I can't believe you don't know it's a violation to let a white racist system blue. Reduce you below the dignity that God put in you just so you can pay your rent and feed your family and pay your house note. Death is better. I had a mother and a father that violated me, violated God. Black men go off to war to kill somebody you don't know, but a cop blow your mom away, you want to go to the Urban League and march. What kind of fool is you? Something wrong. How long? Have to go out to South Dakota. There's a there's some parents that the Civil Liberties Union took a lawsuit in behalf of 17 students. At every school in South Dakota, from preschool to high school, they come in with drug-sniffing dogs. They even sniff six-year-olds. But we can leave here tonight and go where some thugs are standing on the corner pushing dope, and you see no dog sniffing them. And you sit here and know damn good well a nine-year-old child can find a heroin man, but the FBI can't find him, and you don't want to deal with that? How long? But as long as that super rich nigger, maybe you white women understand there ain't never been a nigger like you. You didn't get the right to vote in 1920 and you came over on the boat with this boy? You his mama, you his wife, you his girlfriend, you his sister. I said, boy, if that's the way you feel about your mama, my mama better not come out the house. And then when you got the right to vote, it was not after goodness of your brother's heart. It's because you organized and was willing to die and be beat up and put in jail to get the right to vote. How long? And when you think about, my brother, what you're doing here, think about those hungry Indians up on the reservation that don't have a just harvest. And you black folks produce these little snotty-nosed, punky athletes that would go and play for the Washington Deadskins. That's what they are. Our Indian brothers and sisters, out of all the things you can name it, why do you do something that's insulting to us? And then you produce some little thug hoodlum things out your belly, black woman, that don't feel no pain playing for a nasty, insulting team like that. But we would all understand. When the Washington Skins was up for sale 3 years ago, you would have understood had the Indians took that casino money and outbid it at $800 million and bought that team and named them the Nigger Honkies. Oh, then you would understand it, huh? How long? For those of you that bought this book, we just sold it for a movie the other day. A lot of information. A lot of information in here. We even listed the Memphis cop, Earl Clark, lieutenant, who actually shot King. My biography, Nigger, still sells 4.5 million copies every year, and it's interesting to sit and listen to the mentality in America. Oh, this word here, oh yeah. Before I named this book, that didn't nobody seem to have a problem with it. It cost me millions of dollars because at that thing I was the hottest, the most clever, charismatic mind that was roaming the country at the time. Anything I touch, people bought. And I said to my wife, let's do something with this book. Let's defang this nigger snake. And so I decided we would snatch the fangs out, and I named it Nigger. And most bookstores were scared to put it in the window. People was, even black folks said, give me one of them whatchamacallits. And it's gone further than my expectation. I never thought I'd live to see the day where white children wake up in the morning and greet one another. You my nigger, baby. And you black folks seem to have a problem with that word. Then that's on you. You ain't never been it. Matter of fact, the filthy, degenerate thugs that invented the name for you was really naming themselves and didn't know it. But if that word nigger bothers you black folks and you nigger, if I say tonight, if I say right now, all you hoes stand up. If you get upset, you're a hoe. I didn't call your name. I say all you niggers in here, if that bothers you, but if I called you billionaires, that wouldn't bother you. How can you be so sure you'd never be a billionaire if I got doubts about your niggerism? And then when you black folks sit around and let up, vicious, insane system that's getting embarrassed because the word is being thrown back publicly. All at once they change it to the N-word and y'all don't speak up. The hell is in. And my Jewish brothers and sisters never get so crazy that you get so insane that you get so humiliated, embarrassed over what Hitler and them Nazis did to you that you want to change the word swastika to the S-word and the word concentration camp to the C-word. The N-word is the 14th letter of the alphabet. It don't tell the true story. And most of you black folks that don't know, when you find out the word picnic means pick a nigger. No. And that means you're going to stop eating barbecue? Got a big job. When you go home tonight, look at your toothpaste. This just happened to be Crest, but all the powerful companies. And then read the back in the small print. It says, do not what? Swallow. Do not swallow. They don't put this on whiskey. They don't put this on cocaine. Do not swallow. And then it ends by saying, in case you do swallow it, contact a poison control center, because an ordinary medical doctor do not have the educational background to save you. Are you crazy? And listen to the news that's breaking tonight while we're talking about a man named Saddam Hussein that would kill his own people. Listen to the testimony that came out of Congress today. Those veterans talking about how they had germ warfare tested on them by the United States government. That won't bother you. And then wait till you real truth come out when you find out that this government has dropped germ warfare in 243 cities across this country. But y'all busy looking someplace else. We do stuff in this country that would make Hitler blush, but you don't understand. You will. You will. Somewhere, the games. Very good book out. Called the Plutonium Files. The Plutonium Files. And they talk about how the scientists in Vanderbilt University Hospital injected plutonium into pregnant women to see how it would affect the child, and not only was the children born blind but with no eyes. Talked about a boy's home. He's a government father. In Massachusetts, for mentally retarded boys, how they went in there, laced their oatmeal with plutonium for breakfast. And yet still you get up and put on your, that's why you have to spend so much money trying to look cute, because underneath you is nothing but pure filth, pure insanity. I never understood how Hitler was able to do what he did until now. Now look at your reaction to September the 11th. Fear, fear, fear. How long? So I say thank you tonight. I say thanks to the black ministers, to the black woman. The strongest two forces in the history of America has always been the black woman and the black church. That's why both of y'all are under attack. I live in a country that can blow up a black church, but they never blew up a black whole house. They can burn down a black church, but never burn down a black crack house. A country so insane that a major white newspaper could print this headline. Philadelphia Inquirer. White newspaper can say in daily life, Sunday, March the 9th, 1997, in daily life, black folks found to be more religious than white folks, and because the white paper said it, didn't nobody rumble. But let that be Jet Magazine that said it on a Pittsburgh Courier, even you black folks would be upset. Somewhere. The games. And yet, with all of the insanity, I can sit here as somebody in the movement. I don't have to be validated by the New York Times or the Washington Post. I can sit here and tell you that never before in the history of this planet have any group of people made the progress that African Americans have made in a 30-year period in spite of black folks and white folks lying to one another. And when I listen to you black folks sit around with your do-nothing and think about the white folks that was on the front line, y'all know what I'm talking about, who's out there. Nothing changed this planet. I'm talking about before Rosa Parks. I'm talking about in April the 17th, 1947. When a white man 1947. He knew what he was doing, the danger,
Because if we jump from 1947 to 2001, a black man was about to break a white man's home run record, and he had to call the FBI because he was getting death threats. That was in 2001. But I'm talking about in April 17, 1947, when a white man named Branch Rickey said to a black man, "I'm going to bring you up because it's right. I know they might kill me, they might bomb my house, they might kill my family, I might not never get another job again." But a white man in 1947, said to Jackie, "Come on up here." And the world has never been the same. That was America's game. Y'all talk about your little football team, 47. White folks wasn't into football or basketball. It was baseball. And Jackie is dead because of a sacrifice he had to make. And Branch Rickey was a hippo dude, because those of y'all that understand, and I know the Pittsburgh Courier, you know, Jackie Robinson wasn't the best baseball player, the best athlete, it was his brother. But he had a temper. And there's certain things he wouldn't have tolerated. And had they picked him, there wouldn't have been minority folks now getting $200 million contracts. It was Jackie Robinson. And I remember as a little boy growing up in St. Louis and seeing it, and just something came over me for a whole lot of reasons. He was black enough that couldn't nobody claim he had some other kind of blood in him. And he walked with a dignity that no athlete I'd ever seen walk with. And everything changed. And thank God this movement, I didn't understand hunger, brother, before the movement. I didn't understand nutrition. I thought good nutrition is when whatever you was eating, you had enough, and bad nutrition when you didn't get enough. And in some kind of way, something touched me. Might have been the Branch Rickey. I came up in a